take verse 2 here this evening out of Romans 12 and 1 and 2 here. I want to take 2. We'll read it again. And it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There again, sometimes I read things and I read them and I want them to soak. And as I prayed for the Lord to help us through that, and those are some, this is a thought here in verse 2, not my main thought just as yet, but be not conformed. Be not a part of the world. We'll get into some thoughts here a little bit later. But be not a part of the world. Be not subject to the things of the world. Don't travel with the love of the world, the things of the world. Be not conformed to the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's my thought. The second part of this verse 2 is what I want to look at. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the Bible lets us know that when we get saved, when people get saved, there's a renewing that takes place. There's a change that takes place. Our mind, our thoughts, our intentions, our desires, our hopes, everything, they change from the things of this world, the desires of this world. As I've made in my own testimony as a young person getting ready to graduate high school, I looked out there in the world. I've seen all the things that the world had to hold for me, the desires, wanting to do this, wanting to do that, travel, whatever. And God saved my soul, and there was a change in my heart. There was a change in my mind, a renewing, a different set of mindsets here, so to speak. The word, thinking about the word mind, our mind, it can be taught. We can be taught. Thank God we can be taught. Thank God, thank God our mind has the ability to be taught some things. Thank God as children are able to grow up and they're able to be taught some things. They're able to be taught 1, 2, 3 ABCs. They're able to be taught what an elephant is and what a giraffe is. They're able to be taught some things. And as our mind, even as adults, no matter how old we're still able to be taught. We're still able to learn. We can be taught. We can reason. Our mind can reason. I thank God for that. Our mind can have an ability to reason the difference between right and wrong, the reason to go in one path to another path. Our mind controls this body. Our mind has the ability to remember. Powerful thing, our mind. But Paul here mentioned it here in verse 2, he's be not conformed to the world, but transforming our mind by the renewing of our mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to look at the thought tonight of the word renewing. To renew something, to make new again, to restore. You know, I know most of us probably aren't here. I don't think we're game players. Sometimes when you're younger, you might have seen people that are game players. They like to play games. And I remember what it was, trying to think about it this afternoon. I know that when I was younger and people would get in games and they wouldn't do well or whatever. They had so many lives or whatever, they'd get this life, killed that, and they'd hit the start button. Let's start over. And the whole game would start over. You know, that's easy in the games. I can just hit a whole button and we'll start the whole game all over. We'll start everything anew. In the same scenario with our lives, when we get saved, we have a new start. A button, so to speak, that God allows us to hit. These are the desires of my life. At one time, I used to walk this way, and I didn't have it written in my notes, but I always like that verse that Peter brought. First Peter, don't have to turn over here unless you want to. 1 Peter chapter 4, for in verse 3 says, for in time past our life may have sufficed us the wrought work of the Gentiles, when we walked in lascivious of lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. So in time past, this was the direction I walked. This is the thing that I loved. This is the thing that I had an intention of. And that's what Peter is saying. In time past, we walked the way of the Gentiles, of the ways of the world, wherein they think it strange Then those, our friends, our family, whatever, those ones that used to run to the same excess, they think it's strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot and speak evil. They think it's strange. At one time, you may have been going here and going to the bars and going to the parties and going here and going wherever, but God saved us and renewed our mind. Those things are not the things of our life anymore, and we're running, necessarily not running, but we're traveling the path of the things of God by a renewing of our mind. The Old Testament time, they had to do sacrifices. There was sin that took place. They had to bring a lamb, and they had to kill the lamb and have the forgiveness of the sin. I tell you, sometimes we need to realize and think about Old Testament, New Testament. Thank God we're in the New Testament time. Thank God, because when they brought an animal, and they sacrificed that animal for sin and spread the blood and did all the rites of the work of the blood or whatever, and they left. You know what? It wasn't too long before they had to bring another animal. And they had to bring another animal. And they had to bring another. Why? Because they didn't have a renewing of the mind. They didn't have a change in the heart. They didn't have the ability to keep living free from sin. That's why God had to require them to do that sacrifice. But thank God for Jesus Christ, as he was that ultimate sacrifice, gave us the power to live free from sin, a power to change our mind. Amen. Have a mind change. Not to want to walk that way. One of the blessings about getting saved is when we come to the place and the Spirit of God deals with us, the Spirit of God convicts us, the Spirit of God puts them under, in a sense, of condemnation, that desire to, that understanding that I've sinned against God. Give me the word. I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of. Conviction. Yeah, I couldn't think of it. But God puts us in the conviction, under conviction. And there's a burden. And that conviction is, I'm sick and tired of living that life. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be under conviction. I'm sick of running with my friends and doing this and trying to find happiness here and going there. And God saves our souls, puts us under conviction, and we save our souls. And we don't want it, we don't not only want to go back, we have no desire to go back that way anymore. God changes our mind. In the Old Testament, they couldn't do that. They just had to continue to do that. Verse 1 here in Romans, he says, "Ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." And verse 2 there says, to be not conformed to this world. Being conformed to mean being in accord, to be in agreement. All your friends are agreeing in agreement with you. Many testify about being transformed. Many times we testify about how God saved us, how God took us away from sin, how God saved us from drinking, how God saved us from smoking, how God brought this tongue under control. As I said, I enjoy hearing the testimonies of how God delivered you from sin. Aunt Sissy used to tell me that, not that she was real bad, but she used to tell me she handled some language before she got saved. And she said God didn't deliver her right away. But when she got saved and something came out that she knew it wouldn't be, the Spirit of God corrected her. And she realized I was displeasing to God. And she apologized. I asked God to forgive her. And, you know, it wasn't too long. Too many times of that correction, you either do one of two things. You either conform to the things of God, or God will withdraw his grace. You know, this life, you need to conform to that. And God took that away from her. But God, get the transforming of our mind, our desires to please God, controls our tongue, gives us a dress of modesty. The Bible teaches about modesty. And God, when God saves us, that renewing of our mind. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read a lot of verses tonight about renewing of the mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You have the mind of Christ? More important question is, do you desire the mind of Christ? I want to please God. Amen. I want to have the smile, the approval of God on my life. I want to have the mind. So I want to think about the things of God. I want to think about the things of Christ. Do we have that renewing of Christ's mind? When you have the mind of Christ, and I've made this comment many a times in life, and I really do believe this, honestly believe, when we have the mind of Christ, everything you do, you will ask, how does it affect others or look on myself? How does it affect my salvation? How does it look to other people? Everything we do. We're aware of how we present ourselves to people. I'm a child of God. Thank God I'm saved by the grace of God. And let me tell you what, people have us under a microscope. And they're watching. There was a time, maybe before you got saved, you used to involve yourselves in jokes that were not very colorful. Dirty jokes. Colorful, or jokes that were discriminating or whatever. And those things you say, I don't want to hear those. I have a new owner, boss, not new anymore, been a while, but he likes to tell jokes every once in a while. Now, they're usually always not a problem. I don't know if there was one that was a problem, whatever. But I'm always cautious, and he's a Jew, and a lot of times there are Jewish jokes. Some of them I don't get. some of them I'm like, okay, I don't understand. He has to explain some things to me. But he's a Jew. But a lot of times when people come to me, I got a joke, I'm very cautious. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to hear what you say. I don't want to know if I want to hear the joke. How does this appear? How does it look when we discuss with others? How's our mind think? Do you look at your life? Am I a representative of Christ? And how does people look at me as a representative of Christ? You need a bag of ice? Well, there's a bar half a block down the street. Or a 7-Eleven 2 miles down the road. I can just walk over to this bar and walk in here and get a bag of ice. I'm just going to get a bag of ice. The Spirit of God will help you. No, you need to go 2 miles down the road and get it out of 7-Eleven. Why? The appearance of those things. Walking in there, and as I've told you about the restaurant down here, one time my friend and I walked in there. We thought it was a brand new place. We thought it was a restaurant, or not a restaurant, but a carryout. We ordered some food and walked in there. We walked into the bar. And I know when we left, my buddy, he laughed at me. He goes, I guarantee you we're not going back in there no more, are we? Our taxes, our associations, everything that we do, do we have the mind of Christ? Do we look at things? How is this going to be an experience, or how is this going to represent myself to other people as being a child of God? The song that we sang this morning, the thought that I was going to bring out, Sister Linda played 370, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. And the very last verse, the very last stanza there says, May I prove I've been with Jesus. Can people accuse you of being a Christian? That's why I was going to bring that thought tonight, but I brought a message a couple weeks ago about being a Christian. Can people accuse you of being a Christian? Or can people, and I understand there are all kinds of people that will find little faults in anything we can do just to accuse you. There are just people that do that. I'm not talking about those things. But can people find this verse? May I prove I've been with Jesus? I've said this so many times. Many of our friends, family, and close acquaintances, they know where you are this evening. They know where you were this morning. They know where you're going to be on Wednesday. They know when revival time comes around. They know that service of the church of God, being in service, is important to you. It's our lifeline. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you comprehend them verses, that verse there? The God of this world, the enemy of the soul, the devil, the people of this world, hath blinded the mind of them that believe not. The story, I once was blind, but now I see, and by the grace of God, to be able to see the things of God, to understand the grace of God, the words of God, the desires of God, but by help of God, unless I keep the mind of Christ, I can be blinded again. The Bible lets us know I can go back into blindness again, and the Bible says how great is that blindness, but he says here, and whom the gods of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Brother Mark was mentioning some things that we just see, the wickedness of this world. The wickedness of this world. Why? Because the enemy has blinded the minds of people because they have fallen so far away from the things of God, even the basics of things of God. The Ten Commandments. You know, I've often mentioned probably one of the most popular verses in the Bible that probably most people can quote is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I often wonder how many people really even, if you had asked people that, what is John 3:16 today, I wonder if they really know what that even means today. How many people, I wasn't, some of you were, you remember in schools, the Lord's Prayer. So some of you remember that. Anybody know what year that was taken out? Roughly?
62.
What was it?
62.
That's why I remember it. I wasn't
early
born.
60s,
yeah. 60, early 60s. So 50, 60 years ago. That's not a long time. And I believe that because of those results, take the Lord's Prayer out. Take the commandments out of God. The foundations of a home, of the mother and the father. All these things are the foundations of God, the basic things of God. People have rejected those things and cast them away. And he says here in verse 4, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Many people can't understand why you and I live this way. This is the most strangest thing in the world. And those same people will have 10 different colors in their hair. 10 different piercings in their face, and they call us strange. Sometimes we have visitors that may come in, and they don't understand. They don't understand the doctrines. They don't understand the standards. We have to be faithful. Regardless of how far the world falls away from standards of moral standards, we have to be faithful. We have to stay true to God. We have to keep the mind of Christ. We have to keep our minds renewed day by day. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Having to put on a new man. The renewing of our mind when we get saved. There's something we have to put on. There's something that we have to take upon ourselves. He says the renewing of knowledge after the image of him that created him. We have the desire, I mentioned earlier about our mind. Our mind has the ability to learn. A lot of people get saved. This is a complete stranger to them. Some people, thank the Lord, some people have been raised in church, maybe Sunday school, brought up, they know a little bit of things and all. But when some people get saved, how many of us have heard sometimes when people, they ask God to save them and they start reading the Bible. And you know where they'll start reading? They'll start reading here in Genesis 1. And by the time they get about Genesis 15, they're lost. They don't have a clue what they're reading. And they're discouraged and they give up and they stop reading. I've dealt with people, talked to people like that. I said, stop reading that. I said, let's get into the gospel books. Let's get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's get into the thing and let's study into those things. Our ability to learn. There are many people out there, sadly to say, there are many people they'll desire to get saved. I've got my Bible, I've got my songbook, I'm ready to go to heaven. But no desire to continue to learn. There's too many teachings out there that all you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to save you, and that's all you need to do. And there may be some scenarios where you can repent from sin, ask Christ to save you, and he can save you. But as the story of the sower and the seed, there's one seed there. It says it falls, a couple of them, it says it falls by the wayside. The word comes, and quickly the enemy snatches it away. Because we don't feed it. We don't take care of it. We don't ever learn, desire to learn. Knowledge. We just had baptism a couple weeks ago. And sometimes people look at baptism. Baptism is a complete misunderstanding to most people. I said sometimes people get their songbook, get their Bible, and they're on their way to heaven. And every once in a while they might get baptized. And to me, sometimes I look at people that get baptized, it's nothing more than a merit badge like a Boy Scout. You know, Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and all that, they go through merit, they may go through things, they get merit badges. You got to learn to start a fire on your own or whatever. You got to learn to do something, things, and you do this little project and you get a little badge and you pin it on. You get another little badge, you pin it on. There are so many people, they come in to get saved, they have a little badge. I got a little badge, I got this. I've worked with a man one time, and he and I were friends in working. Things happened, he had problems with drinking, and not going into all the details, but he got into an accident one time, and he came to work and playing some games and everything. So he's at work, and his wife called and said he told his wife to bring the car to the shop so they can fix it or whatever. She called, and they said it can't be driven. It needs to be towed. He goes, man, there's nothing wrong with it. All they did is run into that one car, nothing wrong with it. They towed the car to the shop. The passenger, and it was an older car, it wasn't like a new car today, it was an older car, and the front right tire had snapped off the spindle and was sitting underneath of the seat of the front passenger.
Wow.
He had no idea that happened. He wrecked the car, police were chasing him, wrecked the car and took off running down the road. Of course, all the things, and he's going through this now, AA. And he had to go through there. I mean, his life was getting ready to go to jail or whatever and things like that. He goes there, he goes to AA, and we had another man that worked there the same way. He was in there, and he was sort of his mentor a little bit and help him. And he got little badges. Some of you may know what it is. I don't know what else. And I don't know if there were badges or coins. You know, 30 days, I think, was the first one. 30 days free of alcohol, and then 60 days or whatever. And then he got religious. And he knew, I wasn't a minister at the time, he knew that I was a Christian. And he started criticizing me. He started saying things. He started talking some different things and all. I had to tell him some things. One day he was just going on and on and on about some things. And I told him, I said, the Bible lets us know unless you live free from sin, you're not saved. That's all I said to him. That wasn't favorable for him. Sometimes we need to educate people. We have to understand some things. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, there's people that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul, I think, talked about it back over there in Corinthians, I think it was. He says there's some people that are carnal. He said, Paul gives them instruction. He says, you're carnal. You're carnal minded. You're not growing in the things of God. You're a place to where at one time, you should be teachers by now. You've been saved for a period of time. You've been living for God for a period of time. There should be a growth period where now you should be teachers and all. But you're still back here drinking the sincere milk of the Word. And I don't even know if they were even doing that either, because they weren't growing. If you have a child and that child doesn't grow, it doesn't learn to crawl, it doesn't learn to walk, it doesn't learn to do some things after about 2 or 3 years, there's a problem. The same thing is with us as saints of God. When we get saved, that renewing of the mind helps us to grow. We grow and we grow. I've always thought about it over the years. Sometimes I know the Church of God doesn't do this. Have a pamphlet. Where I should be in 6 months. Where I should be in a year. Where I should be in 5 years. Some by the Word of God, the growing process. When we're in school, we learn. You don't, well, used to be. You didn't move on to the next grade until you passed.
Right.
I don't know if that even applies anymore. You had to be able to know some things. You had to be able to know some in kindergarten, some colors and numbers and letters. Now you had to know some things to move you on to first grade. Here, kids, and we know this ourselves. Here, kids today are in sixth and seventh grade, and they don't even hardly know how to write things. Now you know, you understand that they've eliminated cursive writing.
Yeah.
No more cursive writing.
Right.
I don't even know what they write anymore in school. Probably everything's on a computer. That clock. Most of the kids have no idea what that clock says. Ask the kid, and I'm not talking about kids, I'm talking about teenagers and 20-year-olds. Ask you what time quarter after is. What time is quarter after seven? They say, well, the little hand's on the seven, the big hand's on the five. I heard that not too long ago. What do you mean? No, quarter after. Oh, that's 25. A quarter is 25, so that's... That's not funny, really, when it comes to natural things of life in school, but it's even worse when Timothy says people who are ever learning never come to the knowledge of the truth. You have to have your minds renewed to know Christ. Many times people can know the scriptures, but do they know Christ? We go to Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, but not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us.
Thank you, Lord.
By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's a change that takes place in this thing up here. How many of us have ever, in life, probably every one of us, have a likeness in something, an interest in something, and somehow you're attracted to it, whatever, it could be anything, it could be cooking, it could be, I know Sister Jerry used to make clothes and things, Sister Hawk, anything, any little hobby or whatever. And you know the basics, you may not even know the basics, but something interests in you. You know what happens? You start reading. And you start learning. And you start talking to people about this and about that and about this. You're interested in that. That's something that is fascinating to you. You have a desire for it. The same thing when we become saved. When God, here in this verse of scripture, in verse 5 there, he says, the latter part, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He gave us a desire to want to know the things of God. Every one of us in here to have a driver's license. I was telling somebody this not too long ago, but maybe it was this morning, I was mentioning something. I turned 15, it was this morning, wasn't it? I turned 15, you know, they start telling you, you can start to get your, I think it was called provisional back then. You got a provisional where somebody had to drive with you for a while. I was excited. We had driver's ed in school. I don't know if they do that anymore. I don't think they do. Yeah, I mean, we were excited to have driver's ed sitting in that trailer with a simulated car and things. I was excited. I wanted to get my license. You know what I had to do? I had to learn. That became a part of me at a 16-year or 15-year-old. That was what my drive was. I want to learn. I want to get the book. I want to study. I want to get my license. You want to make heaven your home? You have to get in the book. You have to have a desire for those things.
That's true.
You know, some people don't have. Some people have no desire to drive. Some people are in their late teens or early 20s, have zero desire to drive. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, really. Kind of unusual for a young person that way. But the same thing with the things of God. Well, I'm saved. Do you have a desire for the things of God? Do you have a mindset for the things of God? Well, no, I don't know. I don't really go to church. I don't really read the Bible. I don't really do anything. I don't listen to any song, nothing. God says, when I save you, according to his mercy, he saved us in the washing of regeneration. He put a change in our lives. not only our mind, but the knowledge, our body to renew, but the Spirit. We need to have the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to work in our lives. The Bible lets us know that we at one time had a heart of stone. Everyone that wasn't saved, we had a heart of stone. Can you remember before you got saved? Anybody? Some of you got saved pretty young. But anybody ever entertained the thought of coming to church or being saved? No interest. None. Had a heart of stone. Didn't have a desire for the things of God. We went the opposite way. When I was given an invitation to come to revival, and this mind, my mind said, I remember it as clear today, I want nothing to do with that. Thank God that's what God took. I told the individual that gave me the invitation, I'll see. I'll think about it. But God changed this. Thank God. I thank God He changed this. I was 17. I'm ready to go and graduate high school. Thinking about going into the military. I had some other hopes and dreams. I had no desire for the things of God at all. But the renewing of my mind, God changed it. He saved me and the washing and regeneration of my mind, He changed it. From the things of the desire, the things of the world, to the things of God. God put it upon my heart. If you miss this, your life is vain. Your entire life is vain if you miss this. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Appreciate Brother Danny's testimony from time to time, and as I've said from time to time, never tell anyone ever that your pastor preaches this. Find it in the Word of God. Say, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the Lord says. Because that guarantee, you say, well, my pastor teaches this. You know what they're going to say? Well, my pastor teaches this. The Word of God says this. And they can argue with that part of it. But here are these verses here in this verse 11 here. He says, they received the Word with all readiness of mind. Are you the type of person, Lord, I want to absorb whatever the Spirit of God has for me. I want to take it. I want to hear it. I want to eat it up. I want it to be a part of my life. With all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I like to be challenged from time to time. Every once in a while, somebody, and I've told you this before in the past, every once in a while somebody will come up and ask me a question. Never considered it. Actually, Brother Harley called me today and we discussed about some things. And we discussed about a certain topic on the Bible, and there was nothing that we can put our mind on. And we're sort of little things here or there. I said, I'll think about it. He gave the indication to maybe present it, not to me, but to somebody else to present it in minister's meeting. I said, I didn't think that was a good idea. But anyway, but I like it. Because you know what? Sometimes we don't think about some things. We just live life. But every once in a while, something is presented to me or to you. And you know what? I got to go. What's the Bible say? Let me see what the Word of God says. There's nothing wrong with asking your pastor or asking somebody else or whatever. But don't take that as an answer. Let's look in the Word of God. What's the Bible say? When we have a renewing of our mind, the love of the things of God, searching the Scriptures daily, whether those things are so or not. We have the mind of Christ. Readiness of mind, daily searching. I trust you have a desire that your mind has a desire for the things of Christ. And that your mind has a desire for the things of Christ and that never gets dull. I've said this a lot of times in my life. You know, I've had a lot of hobbies. I've had several hobbies in my life. And as I said to you earlier, some of those hobbies, you know, when I was younger, And got into trucks. A lot of some of you that were running around it. And I bought a truck. It was a four-wheel drive. My dad and I did a lot of hunting. and there was a farm that we hunted on, and it was a mile-long lane to get back to where our campers were, and many times you needed a four-wheel drive. That was the intention of buying the truck. And I found a truck. I used to work at Montgomery Ward's. This guy was selling it. He was putting a headlight in, and he was going to sell it. I actually bought it from him. Right soon after that is when things, the craze, I guess, or whatever, let's lift them up in the air. And I got hooked on that. Being a mechanic, it was a part of it. I enjoyed working on vehicles at the time. I try to run from them now, but I started to lift that thing in the air. Had 12 inches of lift. I had tires on it that stood this high. And then I got into racing. Racing mud hops and mud bogs. I was in it. I just enjoyed it. There's a place down here, I don't know what area it might be. I don't know if it would be considered Dundalk. There's a road down here called Quad Avenue. And back then, we ride down that road all the way in the back. It's an industrial park area. And you go all the way in the back, you cross over, and you go across the stream, and it wasn't nothing but dirt trails, hills, and mud. I can't tell you how many times. I had a couple friends. We never drank. We never smoked. Drugs weren't even a thought back then that way, that much like it is today. I can't tell you how many times I worked in the afternoon shift. I didn't get home till 3 in the morning. That's what we did. Just enjoyed it. Just running through the mud. Today, it's not even in a little bit of an interest, that part of it anyway. Do like it. I do that. There's other hobbies that I've had that I used to be involved in, but they're gone. I got older or whatever. They just grew old. I trust that the things of God never get dull. They never get to the place, you know what, I don't really want to go to church anymore. I don't want to seek the scriptures. I don't want to read the scriptures. I don't want to seek the things of God. Song we sing, More About Jesus. Verse 2 in that song says, More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. No matter what age we are, no matter what age in life, what changes we go through life, what battles we have in life, help us to have the mind of Christ. Always. Ever continuing to learn, ever desiring the things of God. Whether we're teenagers, whether we're married, whether we're having children, whether we're old age, whether we lose a loved one, we need to have the mind of Christ. Always. In every degree in life, we need to keep the mind of Christ. If we have a desire to make heaven our home. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open the page to 161. 161.
Oh, yeah. trust.